With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Silver and Black Hole, the official Raider podcast for the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, exclusively on SB Nation. I am your host, Nick Hamilton, and yes, I have a very special guest. Now, you know what's going on this week, right? You know it's the big AFC West showdown between the Los Angeles Chargers and, yes, the Oakland Raiders. Now, a lot of implications are in this game. There's a lot of things going into this game. Both teams are coming off a great win. The Oakland Raiders are coming off the win against the Detroit Lions 31-24 on Sunday, as well as the Los Angeles Chargers defeating the Green Bay Packers 26-11. Ironically, both teams are coming off wins against NFC North opponents. Figure that one out. Got to thank the NFL for that one, right? Anyway, I got a great special guest that's come on. He's covered the NFL for many years. Most notably, he's the Chargers team reporter, and he's the host of Chargers Weekly Podcast, as well as Backstage Chargers, where he can be heard every Sunday in Los Angeles on AM 570 and on the iHeartRadio app. He is the one and only knowledgeable man himself, Chris Haray. What's going on, Chris? How you doing, man?
Nick, how are you, man? Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to have you on, man. So let's, first of all, before we get into the whole AFC West showdown, let's talk a little bit about you. How did you get started in the business and becoming an NFL reporter and then elevating to now where you are, where you're pretty much, you're the guy. You're all things Chargers.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's my path to here has been wild, really. I worked in sports for 20 years, started at a sports radio station in D.C., and actually worked as director of sponsorships for the Lakers for 9 years. So I was doing something completely different within the sports realm. But I've been with the team, with the Chargers, for about 3 years now. I got my start doing stuff with the Redskins way back in the day. So it's been great to be in this market covering the NFL and covering some other sports too. I do some stuff on KCBS and KCAL, but I'm excited for this game, Nick, because this is a Chargers Raiders matchup that we haven't had in a while. You know, the Raiders have been down, and it just seems like these two teams both are in prime position to try to make some noise during the back half of this season. You got John Gruden in the mix in his second year. The last game at the Black Hole for the Chargers. So there's a lot of intriguing storylines on a short week. And I know both teams are probably not happy that they got to travel on a short week. But nonetheless, it's going to be a great matchup in the AFC West.
Well, yeah, you know, the Chargers, it's a quick flight. It's a one-hour flight straight up.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Orange County to Oakland, so it's not that bad. But, yeah, you mentioned a lot of different storylines, a lot of different scenarios that come across the Raiders and the Chargers. I mean, this rivalry goes back to the days when the Chargers were even back in San Diego. So it's interesting how this is the final game in Oakland for the Los Angeles Chargers to play the Raiders. And I remember Melvin Gordon speaking about this on Monday, how, you know, he was happy. He made a joke and he was saying how happy he was that they finally had some real grass, not getting tackled and landing on sand, and how hard is. So how ironic that you finally get some real grass in the year that you're about to leave if you're the Oakland Raiders. What does that mean? What is the sense that you got from the Charger players about just playing the last time in Oakland, against that rivalry between the Chargers and the Raiders?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of young guys on this team that, you know, haven't been around as long. But then you look at a guy like Phillip Rivers, who's 18-8 all time against the Raiders. He's had a lot of battles against Oakland, up at Oakland since 2004. So I think it's probably a mixed bag in the locker room in terms of what this game kind of means from a sentimental standpoint. But, you know, this is going to be a Vegas-LA rivalry moving forward. So I think really the team is just focused on trying to get a win. They've only had one game in the AFC West so far against the Broncos, which they lost. So this two-game winning streak, it breeds a little confidence. The Chargers get to 4-5. They have five AFC West games to go, three in a row, actually, starting with the Raiders. Then you get the Chiefs of Mexico City, then a bye before they go to Denver. So they want to get on a nice start here against the Raiders as they start the back half of this season.
Now, the Raiders are equally as hungry because, ironically, the Raiders are in second place in the AFC West, just ahead of the Los Angeles Chargers. But I will tell you this much. If you're the Chargers defense, you better be on guard for Derek Carr, because Derek Carr has truly found his rhythm. He's come on. I mean, the last several games, he's only had one INT. He's had six touchdowns thrown. If you saw the game on Sunday to Hunter Renfrow in that last drive, I mean, he's been absolutely amazing. He's been the Derek Carr that we haven't seen in the last 2.5 years. So it's only going to continue. And then the other spark of the team, who I like to call the engine of the offense, is Josh Jacobs. I mean, he rushed for 120 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, he's been absolutely fantastic. How do the Chargers, who've had a history of having problems stopping the run on a consistent basis, how do they contain or neutralize Josh Jacobs in your estimation?
Well, whatever they did last Sunday against the Packers, they just need to continue that. I mean, that's the easiest thing to say. But I think the pass rush for the Chargers, that's the strength. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better duo than Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, especially the way Joey Bosa is playing at this point. Melvin Ingram, it's no coincidence he was out for 3 weeks. Chargers lost all three games. He's back. They've won the last two. So you want to force the Raiders into third and long situations. What does that mean? That means stopping Josh Jacobs on first and second down, making Derek Carr uncomfortable. But it's easier said than done. You alluded to it. Josh Jacobs has not been in this matchup before. He's a rookie. He's played well, and he is kind of that engine right now for that offense. It really kind of dictates the performance of Carr and how efficient he's been to have a running game like that. So the Chargers are going to have to stop Jacobs first and get the Raiders into third and long situations and then let Bosa and Ingram kind of pin their ears back and go. So that'll be the game plan. I look at this Chargers team last week, and it really mirrored the 12-14 last year. You know, they didn't turn the football over. They won the time of possession. And when you do that, you do those two things on a weekly basis, you're going to have a chance to win a lot of football games.
Now, when I look at the Raiders wide receivers, I look at Tyrell Williams, who's very familiar with the Chargers. He was with the Chargers organization for quite a long time. But then I look at guys like Hunter Renfrow. I look at guys like that. What type of challenge do those guys present to the secondary of the Chargers, who are also still without their top-notch safety and Derwin James?
Yeah, it's a great question, and we're about to find out. You know, Tyrell Williams is no stranger to the secondary, vice versa. So, you think about it, Nick, and you're like, all right, who has the advantage here? Does Tyrell have the advantage because he knows Casey Hayward and Michael Davis and some of those guys in the secondary, or do the DBs of the Chargers have an advantage because they know what Tyrell does? So, I mean, I think you can go either way. Tyrell's a fantastic player, and I know he's got a lot of fans in this Chargers locker room. Hunter Renfrow, rookie. Chargers haven't seen him before. But, you know, Davante Adams came back last Sunday for the Packers for the first time in four games. Chargers did a fantastic job of bottling up an Aaron Rodgers-led passing attack. So sometimes you just got to ride that wave, and sometimes things click for a defense. The rush and cover work together. So I can't emphasize this enough for the Chargers. If they're going to stop those weapons on the outside, they got to get pressure on Carr, force him to make quick decisions, maybe potential mistakes. And you mentioned those stats. He hasn't made a lot of mistakes. So that's why the Chargers need to get that pass rush going, maybe force Carr into some errant throws. And we'll just see what happens. I really think this is a fascinating matchup because the Chargers had struggled mightily for 4 weeks and kind of got their groove back last Sunday. So well, I'm interested to see if this continues on a short week.
Well, the one thing I will say about John Gruden, how he's been able to coach, especially on the offensive side of the ball, when you have Hunter Renfrow and you have Darren Waller, he likes to jam it down your throat. Whoever those guys are going against, he likes to jam it down their throats. And to me, when I look at, you know, Tyrell Williams, I look at Darren Waller, I look at Hunter Renfrow, I'm looking at three guys that are saying, okay, these guys can actually match up very well against that Chargers secondary. And I look at it like, okay, this is a team that can definitely present some problems to that Chargers secondary. And can they sustain for all four quarters? Because the one thing about it, these guys can tire you out at any given point. We saw against the Lions. We saw them against the Colts. They can tire you out at any point in time. What does Gus Bradley have to do to preserve not so much the energy, but preserve the field vision as far as when it comes to the Chargers secondary and being able to sustain themselves for all four quarters to become out victorious?
Well, again, I think it starts – we go back to Josh Jacobs. It starts with bottling him up. If you get John Gruden offense into a rhythm, you know, they're gonna go up and down the field. And the Chargers, they can't allow Josh Jacobs to get healthy doses of yardage. If the Raiders are in second and short, third and short, that's not what the Chargers are going to need. The formula for success is to bottle up the run and to rush those pass rushers with Bosa and Engro. And you bring up the guy we didn't talk about yet, Waller. Darren Waller has been a nice surprise for the Raiders. And just like this tight end matchup, Nick, I'm really intrigued by as well. Hunter Henry versus Darren Waller. Hunter Henry's played fantastic football for the Chargers over the last four weeks, and we know what Waller has done throughout the course of the season. So another kind of matchup to watch is the Waller versus Henry. Who gets the best of the opposing defense?
Well, yeah, that's going to be an intriguing matchup. That's something I circled on the calendar when I saw the schedule come out. I said, okay, at least after week three, I'm saying, okay, I'm looking forward now to this Charger-Raider matchup because those two guys are going to be X factors. And whoever, like you said, whoever has the sizable advantage, whoever has the most success against the opposing defenses will enable their team to win the game. The thing that concerns me, though, because the Oakland Raiders line is kind of banged up, which can give Bosa and Engram a little bit of an advantage as far as getting to Derek Carr a little bit quicker than normal. We've seen in the last few games how they've been able to hold their own and allow Derek Carr to get the ball off, whether it's having Josh Jacobs catch out of the backfield or being able to throw the ball off into his projected target. When you look at Josh Jacobs, and we talk about him at length all the time because he's definitely box office, he's definitely big time TV. What do you see in Josh Jacobs as far as not only just being a threat, but what do you see him as a football player? I know he's a rookie out of Alabama, but what have you seen thus far that's impressed you the most about Josh Jacobs?
I think just the fact that you can have a rookie plug and play, and again go back to the word you used, engine. You know that's why Mike Mayock drafted Josh Jacobs in the first round. They needed a running attack. You know, they didn't really have a consistent running attack last year with, you know, since Gruden's been in there, you got Marshawn Lynch, you got Jalen Richard. None of those guys were really the guy, you know, to get a. And you can make the argument about running backs. You can get them in the first round. That's fine. But a lot of teams will go in the mid round, maybe undrafted. Austin Eckler being an example of that. So depending on where you get your running back, as long as they're productive, right? And Josh Jacobs is, you know, he's proven that he didn't have a lot of wear and tear on him in Alabama, which I think was a good thing because the shelf life for a running back, as we've seen throughout the years, is short. But when you have limited carries in college and you can come right in and you kind of mesh with an NFL offense, that's a big deal, you know. And certainly that's why Mike Mayock and John Gruden drafted him, and he's proven him right now.
Now you spoke about running backs, and we all know how well Austin Eckler has been playing in the absence of Melvin Gordon until Melvin had returned. And then we're starting to see the Melvin Gordon that we all used to seeing as far as getting those sharp runs, getting those long runs and scoring touchdowns. The thing about the Oakland Raiders defense, and the last two games, they've been probably the most consistent that I've seen them do thus far this season. If you're Melvin Gordon, what do you have to do to be elusive enough to get those long runs and to be able to score in the red zone, which he's been a lot more successful than not against the opponents? I mean, especially what we saw against the Green Bay Packers defense last week. What does Melvin Gordon have to do to continue to be successful and score touchdowns?
Well, I think we're finally starting to see Melvin Gordon. Like the first four games, we didn't see Melvin Gordon. That wasn't Melvin Gordon. It took some time to get acclimated to playing in a game and, you know, obviously not having training camp and not having preseason and missing the beginning of the regular season. Of course, there's going to be rust. I mean, how could there not be? If you don't play football, you don't put pads on, it's just not going to be there right away. So Melvin just has to be Melvin at this point, because I think last week, coupled with just the offensive balance, running the football, you know, they had 159 yards rushing, over 30 carries between Eckler, Gordon, and Justin Jackson, even got a couple. The two running styles, I think, are very different. You know, Melvin is obviously a bruiser. He can get the tough yardage. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Eckler can, he can house one, man. I mean, he can, if you get the ball in his hands, he can make a big play at any point in time. He had 16 touches, made the most of all those touches. And then you mentioned Melvin getting in the end zone twice. So, I think this running game is, I can't say it's starting to hit its stride, but it was a nice start, 159 yards, as opposed to the previous four games where they had fewer than 40 yards rushing as a team. So if they can get that version of the running game, the one that they had on Sunday, then it bodes well for the Chargers.
You are inside the Silver and Black Hole here on the Silver and Black Friday Podcast Network, exclusively on SB Nation. We're talking to my special guest, Chargers Weekly Podcast host, Chris Herre. Now, Chris, I got to ask you this, man, because you already know where I'm going when I talk about quarterbacks. I'm looking at Derek Carr. I'm looking at Phillip Rivers. The last several games, Derek Carr has been, seemed like he's been the most sound quarterback out of the two, the most consistent quarterback out of the two, because Phillip Rivers has had some struggles in the last several games. Now, what does Phillip Rivers have to do in order to be successful tonight? On Thursday night. My apologies, but on Thursday night, what does he have to do to be successful against this Raider defense? Because you know it's going to be loud. Raider fans are going to be in the house. It's going to be the black hole for a reason. It's going to be a lot of expletives thrown out there. It's going to be a lot of fans screaming shouting. You know how it is, Chris, up there in Oakland. How does Phillip Rivers drown that out and be able to be successful against not only just a tough defense, but a hostile crowd?
That's a good point. We know, though, Phillip has had a history of doing that. He's 18-8 all time against the Raiders. He always gets up for the Raiders. And I think for him, the rhythm and the balance of the offense that we saw on Sunday is what's going to bode well for Phillip. If they can run the football, that's going to open up things. And we're starting to see guys like Mike Williams, who had his first career 100-yard game last week. Keenan Allen, we know what Keenan Allen can do. He's probably the best route runner in the NFL. Hunter Henry over the last 4 weeks. The weapons on the outside are there. And what's great for Phillip is that his running backs are also weapons in the passing game. So, I just mentioned five guys there. If you have to double Keenan Allen, that's going to leave one-on-one opportunities for possibly Hunter Henry or Mike Williams. You have to account for two different styles of running back in the backfield. So the biggest thing for Phillip, Nick, is he just can't make mistakes. He can't turn the football over, because the Raiders have not been turning the football over. He can't lose the turnover battle on the road. So I think that's the biggest thing for Phillip. Play clean football. Rely on your weapons on the outside and find the favorable matchups on the field, because they're going to be there.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you can't turn the ball over, especially when you have a slot corner like LaMarcus Joyner, which oftentimes the defense likes to run a lot of nickel when they're playing. So, I mean, if you're Phillip Rivers, you don't want to throw it that way. You definitely don't want to get it tipped for INT. But to me, the bigger game is for Derek Carr. And the reason why I say the bigger game is for Derek Carr than Phillip Rivers is because Derek Carr, I believe, has something to prove. I said this on a podcast episode several episodes ago, where I said the Raiders have got to stack up quality wins. And even though I'm looking at the record of the Chargers, this is still a quality win, because anytime you're playing within the division and you're playing a team that's fighting and scratching, as Anthony Lynn would say, and continuing to fight, the same thing with the Oakland Raiders, this is going to be a quality win. If Derek Carr can get off early, set the tone early for the Oakland Raiders, be able to be effective offensively and keep the chains rolling, this is going to be a bigger quality win for Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders versus having it for the Los Angeles Chargers. One last thing before I let you get on out of here, Chris, because I know you're extremely busy. How fun is it for you to be in Oakland for the final time and being on that field and being in that atmosphere in the black hole, man?
Man, it's one of those things that you're going to always remember, right? I mean, there's some iconic places to play football. And the ones that are the old ones and the ones that maybe aren't as nice, those are the ones that you remember forever. I remember growing up in Washington, D.C., man, RFK Stadium. It was 55,000. It was old. It was dingy. And it was, but it was the best thing ever. It was the best thing ever. I know that's what a lot of Raiders fans probably feel about the Coliseum and opposing fans and opposing teams too. They go in there. They know that there's something about that crowd. I mean, that, you know, you don't think the opposing crowd feeds off the booze and the all the craziness that goes on there. So it's going to be fun, man. Again, it's one of the NFL's great rivalries, and it'll just have to continue. LA Vegas next year.
Have you booked your ticket to Vegas yet?
No, you know how we can get down day of. You know, it's a day of situation.
Okay. Well, I know you got that circled on your calendar already, Chris. I know how you move, man. I know you're looking forward to the Vegas nights.
No doubt, man.
Well, thank you so much, Chris Hayray, ladies and gentlemen. He's the host of Chargers Weekly and also Backstage Chargers. Thank you so much, Chris. Man, I'm looking forward to this matchup on Thursday. Have a safe flight up there, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon, Nick.
Thank you so much. That was Chris Hayray from Chargers Weekly, the host of the Chargers podcast. Listen, it's going to be an epic matchup, 5:20 p.m. Pacific time, NFL Network, Fox. You know where to find it. The Raiders have to get this win, Raider Nation. So let's make sure you get out there early, get out there in droves, and make sure that the black hole is exactly that, the black hole. Make it loud, stand proud, and make sure you follow me on all things social media at Nick Hamilton LA. Make sure you download and subscribe the Silver and Black Hole podcast right here on the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, exclusively on SB Nation. Until next week, I'll have a brand new partner on board. You don't want to miss it. Stay sharp. Raider Nation, stand up. You don't want to miss it. Stay sharp.
The players, slick talkers and collar poppers, narcotics and boss ballers, pit bulls and the rock rollers, niggas but gold teeth, old schools on gold feet, killers and OGs, task force and the police, Mac off the foothill, East 14, Sobrani Park, Brookfield, Plymouth and Walnut Street, from the building seminary to the rolling 20s, we ghetto celebrities like Big Feet and Little D, you see the East Bay Dragons, it's the home of the Panthers, where niggas like tons of crack and feds catching on camera, throw you in the slammer, it's the home of Chauvin Hammer, Buff Waller, moved to Atlanta, niggas stole our grandma. That's my brokers, that's my nephew, that's my weeples, that's my nizzle. Please believe me, go for cheesy, yeah. Off the hizzle, do your thizzle. When my niggas riding dope feet rentals, rock residentials, like crack pack pistols, every track I sizzle.
Cause I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider, from the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, a boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters. I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider, from the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a
I'm a Raider, just like my niggas before me. But I was a thief without the open face, gold teeth. And in vogue was some fine ass Oakland Raiders. And Too Short was the first Oakland Raider on the set. Now, Man was a Raider when he was fucking with Dan. And Astori X was a Raider when he was a warder to stay. And Dangerous Dame was a Raider when he was calling hoes names. But I know, from the lake on Sundays to the 5-0. Now we to Eastmont with the sideshow. But it's fun, and I'm famous, but I ain't trying to die, though. Niggas be going out in the game, but not I, though. If I have to go back to dope, I'm slinging for survival. Now, Drew Pimpy Doo, if you hoeing any pippin' you. Tried it for 30 days, I ain't lying, I ain't with it, dude. A babysitting job? Oh my God, that's a job. But I still wanna do it, cause it's 100%
I. Cause I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, a boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters. I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, a boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters.
Hieroglyphics been Raiders since 93 till infinity. Some underground shit that just shook the fucking industry. And Humpty with his gone ass, a Raider in his own right. The whole D, you can't forget, you amped on sight. Now, Mystic, she the only female Raider I know. You the shit, baby girl, I'm just letting you know. And last but not least,
Tupac Shakur, nigga, rest in peace. I'm from the city of dope, the town of the crack. I'm from the city of pimps, the town of the Mac. East Oakland, heat totin', Ebonics speech broken, keep joking. The loony's about to have the streets smoking. Down south, y'all keep smoking. Hey, we got the killer throwing A, Heron and kilos for days. It's the city of the warriors, the home of the A's, where niggas get sideways, shootouts on highways, nigga. East Oakland, bitch. I'm a Raider.
Cause I'm a Raider. Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player. A boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters. I'm a Raider. Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player. Boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters.
We Raiders. Three times crazy. Sight on. Rest in peace, Eclipse. Bad Influence, rest in peace, Rapping Ron. Aunt Banks, Seagram, rest in peace, my nigga. Black Dynasty, Delinquents, Richie Rich, 415, MCN, The Coup, Point Blank, EA Ski, Steady Mobbing, all y'all niggas is Raiders. Raider motherfuckers, what?
Damn, what about me? This is Mark Curry, baby, I'm not an Oakland Raider, goddamn. I'm the first motherfucker on TV. First one did HBO. First one did Apollo. I think it qualified me in the Hall of Pimology as an Oakland Raider. What? I'm the first one on Dubs. What? I'm an Oakland Raider, baby. That's right, representing the town. East Side Oakland, you know how we do it. East Side O, nigga, straight up take your hoe. Dollars all day long, you know how we do it in the town. Crystal, Big Dank, that's the way we roll. Old school, sitting on 20s. It don't make no difference. Floating, doing it all. Ghetto nigga from the East of Mount Mall.